the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Is there any question what you'd preach about here on the Sunday before Thanksgiving? I've had this message, a couple of them around, and said I dug through and pulled out that old outline and said, oh boy, that's got some good stuff in it. Let's revisit that. So we'll do that. But kick it off. I said some things in there about the first Thanksgiving. And I had one message on the first Thanksgiving. But you know, the first Thanksgiving was not in America, praise the Lord. The first mention of Thanksgiving, again, is in the sacrificial system in the book of Leviticus that's put together. And so I did want to preach a little bit on the first Thanksgiving, given again that God called it out for us. And then a favorite of mine also around Thanksgiving is found here in Hebrews chapter 13. Let's look at Hebrews in chapter 13. We do have much to be thankful for. I said the tradition at the righteous was to go around the table at Thanksgiving dinner with all the family there and all the extended family and give something you're thankful for, and then you're not allowed to repeat something that someone else has already given. Well, of course, what's the most thing that I'm always thankful for, and I trust you are, again, is our salvation, that God would give his life for ours. And so again, that's a key thing I always like to look at. And here we find a little bit of that in Romans or Hebrews chapter 13. So let's go ahead and look at Hebrews chapter 13. We'll take our diving board from this again and then look at all the ability of giving thanks. I know we've been up and down and it seems like our service is just zooming right through. Let's go ahead and stand anyway on this snowy Sunday morning and read from God's Word, Hebrews chapter 13. You follow along in your Bible as I would read again, starting there in verse 10 is where I want to start. And it says, the Bible says, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Verse 13 says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you that as we meet here today, Father, that there's thanksgiving on our heart. Thank you again, Father, that we can gather with other believers on this Sunday morning. Thank you for each one that's put an effort in to come out on this day. And pray again that you'd touch and bless. Pray that you'd be with those that had a desire to be here but could not. Hear their thankfulness and their worship. And touch their need as well this morning. And we'll praise you and thank you, Father, for seeing our plight and hearing our plea. And Father, touching each one that's here in a very special way. We think again of all that's going on. Pray that you'd surround Dave and Chris as they head off to the hospital just now. I pray that you'd touch Matthew in his prayer for his grandma. Pray, Father, again that you'd intervene in each prayer that's been whispered to you even in our worship service today. And Father, touch us now as we desire to be a thankful people on this Sunday morning. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated, praise the Lord. And while you're right there with your Bibles, let's open it up to Romans chapter 1. Look at a couple other verses. I have bookmarks in Hebrews and Romans. And my bookmarks are Jeff and Debbie Williams serving in New Zealand, praise the Lord. Missionaries I met at the Preacher's Fellowship this past week. And over here in Romans is please pray for the Pizzo family, missionaries to Spain. Again, both of them, well, one of them is a young couple with a family. The other is an empty nester, again, that's going back into the mission field. So it's good, again, to meet with them. It's good to be mission-minded. Appreciate, again, that we brought word from the Mullers also was out there Thursday. So praise the Lord again for this church and the things you want to give thanks for. One of them is Good Samaritan Baptist Church and its outreach into the whole world. What a blessing. What a miracle. And we appreciate that. So add that to your list of thankful things. But let's look here in Romans chapter 1. And notice again, I've probably preached this several times. There's a stairway in Romans chapter 1. I've preached it going down. I've preached it coming up. And it's a good stairwell. And I hope you got it marked someplace in the margin of your Bible. But it begins there in verse 21. It's got seven steps in this stairway. The stairway down is where man walks away from God. The stairway up is where man walks towards God. And you can't miss a step. It's kind of curious when we're looking at those on the way down. You can stumble all the way through these pretty quick. But coming back, again, you got to be careful to hit each step. So let's look at that stairwell. I only want to look at the first couple steps here down. Notice what it says in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not. First step by God is that they knew God. Everybody knows God. And when they knew God, notice again, every man. The Bible says that the sun lighteth every man that's born into the world. Notice that by Psalmist and Jeremiah agreed that man or God tries the reins of man's heart, every man, to see which way he'll go. And so there's no one in the jungles of the Amazons that's without excuse. In fact, this section right here covers the fact that man knows there is a God and is without excuse. And so they know God. And when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They probably thought that we evolved here or something. And then look at the next one. Neither were thankful. Three things we ought to do there is know God, glorify God, and be thankful. And so I just wanted to point that out in that stairwell there that goes down. Again, when you lose a thankful heart, you're on a stairwell that's headed away from God. And so we need to be thankful, give thanks in everything. And that's another message. I won't preach that here today. But let's go ahead and look at what the Bible says about our thanksgiving just a little bit here. And as we do that, I want to go ahead and walk through these PowerPoint slides that cover just that, I hope. And so, as I said, most of these pictures that I pulled up for Thanksgiving have food in them. So we're going to be hungry when we're done here, probably. And it's amazing how two things. Baptists center around food so much. And number two, so does Thanksgiving. That's what we think about again. And so, they were in some of the pictures that I pulled out here, and we want to again look at Thanksgiving. Let's see, I gotta turn this on, and then that clicks. We're good. Let's go, therefore, unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Praise the Lord for our salvation. Now look at that verse says in here in verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. We heard a message Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday or Monday night, on prayer, where He said, word your prayer. Have it come out your lips. It's amazing that I've tried that again, and I often pray in my mind. And you don't finish your sentences when you pray in your mind. And so it's good to put it to a sentence. Someone has said that you don't really understand what you're thinking until you can put it in a complete sentence. Well, some of us have had trouble with complete sentences all our lives. But it is amazing, again, that God here says, hey, let it come out your lips. Say it out loud. And again, that's the type of thanksgiving we're looking for in our lives, even this week. And that we would again mention Thanksgiving. Here's the Thanksgiving proclamation given by Abraham Lincoln. Unfortunately, this isn't read by too many people, especially politicians in this day and age. But listen to the words of this proclamation. George Washington wrote the first Thanksgiving proclamation. This one here is where he set it up as a national holiday for our nation in 1863. And Abraham Lincoln said this: "It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord." Could you imagine a politician standing up and giving such a proclamation? I couldn't even imagine one reading this one today. I'm hoping maybe our president will this week. "We know," he continues, "that by his divine law, nations, like individuals, are subject to punishments and chastisements in their world. May we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins, to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. It has seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with the one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." What a tremendous proclamation given there in 1863. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It's amazing how much we are thankful for things. And here again, we can have all things added to us, as the scriptures say, according to our need. And then it says in Psalms, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Holidays force us from our ruts, our routines, and they make us reflect a little bit, I hope. I always enjoy holidays. I even enjoy Halloween, although I didn't list that one here again. The devil's holiday, as it's called. But again, we can find opportunity to ponder our great God in every holiday. Christmas with family together and gifts and loved ones, and the gift of God, His great salvation at His birth. For New Year's, making plans, past and future, goals, progress, aspirations, purpose, and again, reflecting on His so great salvation. For Easter, God's only begotten Son, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His salvation. Memorial Day, those that departed, the price of freedom and liberty, remembering His salvation again. July 4th, Independence Day, one nation under God, a nation who chose God. I think it was Dr. Gibbs who first said that God chose Israel as His nation, but America is a nation that chose God for their God. A nation who chose God. Salvation of a nation. On Labor Day, back to school, back to work, back to schedules, and the beginning of a new work year. Veterans Day, remembering those who served for our freedoms. And then Thanksgivings. For 50 years now, I have been asked to recite something I am most thankful for. Top of the list, as I said, is God's salvation. That God would be mindful as such a one as I. As I said, this should be the first Thanksgiving day rather than the first Thanksgivings. But again, notice again that there's much said about Thanksgivings before America got here. And here as we look again at this traditional picture of the Thanksgivings, it's good to revisit some of our roots a little bit today. The first Thanksgiving Day was observed in 1621 by pilgrims and Indians in Plymouth Colony in Massachusetts. Decreed by Governor William Bradford, it was a day of feasting and expression of gratitude for the harvest. George Washington issued the first national proclamation of Thanksgiving in 1879. Abraham Lincoln, largely through the crusading efforts of Miss Sarah J. Hale, editor of Gaudy's Lady's Book, my wife knew what that was, I didn't, in 1863, made it a national holiday and fixed the day at the last Thursday in November. Congress in 1941 set it as the fourth Thursday. The turkey, a Native American bird, and pumpkin pie are among the foods traditionally eaten at Thanksgiving in Canada. The day is observed on the second Monday of October. And so again, some things again about Thanksgiving. I just want to run through this list again of things that you're thankful for. Again, I always like these lists because I needed them before we could eat turkey. Everyone had to come up with something, and all the good ones was taken before they ever got to me. And so I made a list here of who, what, when, where, why, and how. So this, the famous five questions with a how on there too. So let's look a bit at our Thanksgiving, and let's be thankful for who we are. Let's be thankful for what we are. Let's be thankful for when we were born. Hallelujah. Let's be thankful for where we were born. Let's be thankful for why we're here. And let's be thankful for how we can learn to be thankful. Who are you? Be thankful. Be thankful for the family you're born in. Be thankful, at least for me anyway. I heard people say they're trying to find themselves. I was never that lost, so I couldn't find myself. I had parents, again, that whipped me into pretty good shape as far as knowing who I was. Not trying to be someone else, praise the Lord. Be your own self. Don't mimic others and try to live their lives. I've often heard it said, and I partly agree, that people do not have an original thought until age 40. Before that, all they do is regurgitate something that somebody told them. And so there might be some truth to that. But don't be someone else. And God made you, praise the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts." Psalm 22:10. "I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly." Again, Psalm 22. records the crucifixion and is indeed about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ as well. Psalms 58 says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Psalm 127, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Before I formed thee in the belly," Jeremiah says, "I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." We ought to be thankful for what God made us, for who we are. We ought to be thankful for what you are. Be thankful. What God enabled you to become. Not so much what you got. Small minds talk about things. Great minds talk about ideas. Be thankful again that you're a steward of His earth and what God has given us. Be thankful that He's given us here to occupy the body that He designed, to occupy the body that He built, and to occupy the body that is cursed. We're going to die again. Some of us have seen too much sickness, even today again, as we worship a small number because of sickness. I appreciate again that God is in charge even of our lives when we're suffering under the cursed, and He's given us great blessing. Be thankful for all that God has given us. We breathe His air, we drink His water, we eat His food, and we ought to offer unto God thanksgiving and pay the vows unto the Most High. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that the horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. It's good to seek God. It's good, again, to be thankful for what we are and that we could, again, know God and speak to God face to face as a man speaketh to a friend. Be thankful for when you were born. An old Chinese curse I've mentioned before is, may you live in interesting times. Now listen, we live in interesting times right now. I mean, to see things happening so fast, it can be discouraging, but boy, we want to be thankful. It's been said that my grandpa had more work in his little finger than I have in my whole body. I guess that I probably wrote that down before I took up splitting wood, but praise the Lord. Imagine the conveniences we have. Imagine again how nice we have it here in this world. And God's timeline as we look at it, praise the Lord for where we fit in God's timeline. That we was born right here in this time. Interesting times. Be glad for where you were born. Be thankful. We're born in one nation under God. One nation indivisible. Once inhabited by savages and pagans. One nation, and it's not politically correct to say that, but that's what was here, all right. One nation under God and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Creator. And so we do praise the Lord for our nation. And if you don't, let me just give you a reminder where you could have been born. You could have been born in North Korea, okay? North Korea has publicly executed 23 Christians by firing squad since October of 2000. Of 1999, I guess it was. A religious liberty group says all of those killed were new converts. Most had fled to China where they became Christians, then returned to North Korea to share the gospel with their people. New converts are more vulnerable than older Christians who know how to survive in the hardline communist country. In India, you could have been born. Australia Baptist missionary Graham Staines and his two sons, aged 10 and 8, were murdered in Orissa in January of 99. Staines and his boys were sleeping in the vehicle when a mob surrounded it, caught it on fire, and refused to let them out. All Bibles were seized from a missionary in Gujarat, India, and burned. More than 150 homes of Christians were burned in 1999 alone. So again, understand, we could have been born there and then to suffer again the great persecutions. We could have been born in Laos, Christians in Laos, being forced to sign an official document renouncing their faith. You could have been born in China. The government intensified its nationwide crackdown on unregistered churches. The state has begun to target underground churches and church leaders for arrest and dole out sentences of 3 years re-education in their labor camps. Protestant leaders report that 40% of inmates in Henan labor camps are there for belonging to the Christian underground. Think of France. You could have been born in France. Tracy's glad he wasn't born in France, praise the Lord. A law proposed by France's National Assembly would make it a crime punishable by up to 2 years in prison for proselytizing. You're probably going to see that first in America too, proselytizing. When you go and tell a savage that they're a savage, and you go tell a transvestite that they're sinners, there's laws against that already on the books again. So anyway, they made it against the law to proselytize. And listen, God has commissioned us to do just that, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You could have been born in Russia. It's curious that I heard more about the Russian probe here going on. And you could have been born in communist Russia. That's where America, the progressive liberals, are headed. It's funny that they point at Russia as their enemy again. Russia is the one, if you haven't figured this out, who caused Hillary to lose the election. It couldn't have been Trump. He couldn't have done it on his own. So certainly the Russians must have done it. And so again, they point at the enemy. It would be funny if it weren't so sad. There have been many cases of trumped up charges against believers. I like that phrase, trumped up charges, such as phony traffic offenses and planting of illegal drugs. Pentecostal pastor Rashid Tabar of the Full Gospel Church of Nukus, Uzbekistan, was arrested in February 1999. It's got too many numbers there, it seems like. And Bible literature was confiscated from him. He was also charged with the possessing of hashish. In June 1999, he was sentenced to prison for 15 months. Two other members of his church were also arrested and sentenced on drug charges. Listen, America's already got the ability to trump up charges. Of course, we have a police force that's so honest, they'd never do that. But understand, again, that the number of laws that we have on our books, they could have any one of us in jail. If they wanted us in jail, they could have us in jail serving sentences today. You could have been born in Uzbekistan, Central Asia, the world's largest area of overlapping between post-Soviet and Islamic cultures. You could have been born in Hong Kong. You could have been born in Sudan or Yemen, if you've watched Yemen in the news this week. But look, we're born in the United States of America. Listen to this. This is educational. In 1892, before the turn of the 19th century, a Supreme Court decision states this, quote, "Our laws and our institution must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. And in this sense, and to the extent our civilization and our institutes are emphatically Christian, this is a religious people. This is historically true. From the discovery of this continent to the present hour, there is a single voice making this affirmation. We find everywhere a clear recognition of the same truth. These and many other matters which might be noticed add a volume of unofficial declarations to the mass of organic utterance that this is a Christian nation." Woodrow Wilson stated a nation, that was an unquote. Woodrow Wilson stated that a nation which could not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today, nor what it is trying to do. We are trying to do a futile thing if we do not know where we came from or what we have been about. Praise the Lord, we're born in America, the greatest nation in this world, with the greatest government in this world. Well, let me say, with the greatest form of government in this world. And so, again, we have much to be thankful for, being born in America. Why are you here? The Bible is the only book that authoritatively answers three questions. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. That verse is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't just worship the God or the deity of our choice, Hillary Clinton said. We worship, again, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the one who here in this text says He is worthy. Ecclesiastes 12 is an interesting closure of a philosophy book, and it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Why are we here? And then a last question let's look at briefly is how you will do it. How can I be thankful in all things? In everything give thanks. Philippians 4:11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how both to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. We often hear 13 quoted out of that context. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We're going to this week have a National Day of Thanksgiving. And we ought to give thanks. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 9 says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians 2 says, rooted and built up in Him and established in faith, as we have been taught, abounding herein with thanksgiving. Colossians 4, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Revelation 7, closing here, says, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Let's be a thankful people this week, and as we step through the week, again, let's remember to give thanks. Every day, I like, again, the traditions that some have taken. I've seen a couple on Facebook where they every day come up with something that they're thankful for. And that's easy to do. That's 30 days in November. That's only 30 things, again. And be careful they're not just things. But we have much to be thankful for. Father, praise You again and thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You again for the verses that teach us, require us to be thankful. And Father, I pray again that You touch each one of us this week, especially with a thankful heart. We think of the calamities going on in lives. We think of the situations that are out of our hand and out of our control. Lord, we give you thanks and we praise you that we can trust you who is in control of all things. Father, I pray again now that you touch our worship today. Thank you for each one that's come out, spent this hour of worship. Pray your special blessing on Good Samaritan Baptist Church as we desire here to lift up your name, to show our thankfulness, and again to rejoice in what you've done, to save the likes of us from eternal death and giving the likes of us eternal life. We thank you, we praise you, we worship you today. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen, amen. Let's go ahead and sing a Thanksgiving song. I know we got some in our book there. And I don't know if it fits in the category. Let's sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love." I think that's in your book there someplace, if you need the words. What is it?
154.
154 in your song books. And I think we want to try the first and the last. Let's stand and dismiss in song. Blessed be the time.